What's up? Welcome to the King of the Mountain podcast, back again for the second week in a row after taking a long hiatus. So thanks for rocking with me. I told you guys last week that I was going to be having some guest hosts cycle in and out so that you guys aren't just listening to me talk by myself every single week. I don't usually like to do that because I kind of like to sit back and listen and stuff too. So just hit the live button. So we're going live on Twitter. If you're watching on Twitter, Periscope, you can hear me, see me, but you cannot hear or see my guest host today. So you're going to have to tune into KOTMpodcast.site this weekend and hear the full show. So today, first up to bat is my guest host, Ro the Great. And it is good to have you on, man. We've been trying to do this for a while. You've been really excited about coming on, and the day has finally come. How do you feel about it?
Hey, first and foremost, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited, man. Like I've always been a complimentary of your work, been following you since day one. And, I'm just glad to be a part, to be able to, you know, go back and forth with you and talk about Impact. You know, we're both two big Impact fans, so let's do it.
Hell yeah. So we're going to talk about this third episode from Mumbai, India. But real quick, shout outs to all the other Impact Wrestling podcasts out there. They are my homies, my aces. So please check these guys out. I'm talking about Impact Heads. They just had their first show. That is Kyle's show. So remember, if you guys listened in last week, Kyle's not a part of the show full time anymore. But him and the chef are doing the Impact Heads podcast. So definitely check them out, you know, very humor based and everything, very, raw and uncut. So check out Impact Heads. Of course, there's my homies over at the Heel Cast, the, Booking the Territory podcast, and, on Facebook, shout out to TNA Fan Zone, the Impact Trojans, and then also my homies at the Tapped Out podcast network. They got an Impact show coming very soon. Now, I was supposed to be hosting that Impact show. That was what I talked to you guys last week about. It was going to be a call-in show, but they wanted the King of the Mountain podcast to be on that network as well. Wasn't something I was willing to do because I don't want to start moving the subscribers over and getting people used to a new method to listen to the show. So, just KOTM is what I will be doing. So the website now, if you guys are not familiar with it, is KOTMpodcast.site. That's .site. That is the website that I put together. It's a one-stop shop. So if you want to listen on Podbean, if you want to listen on YouTube, you want to listen on SoundCloud, I don't think I said that right. All those links are there. So just go to the website. You know, I usually have the podcast up by about Sunday each week, maybe Saturday if I can. And, you know, just go there and it's got everything. So if you're listening on YouTube right now, please subscribe. Please give a thumbs up. Please leave a comment because all these little things do help get the podcast out there. If you're listening on SoundCloud, subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, definitely subscribe and definitely give us a rating. We've only got a handful of ratings on there. I don't usually ask for people to do them. That's kind of my bad. So would really appreciate that a great deal if you could do it. And same with Podbean. I've been getting a lot of Podbean subscribers lately, so you can subscribe there as well. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you guys. This, you know, this was my first podcast after 3 month hiatus last week, and I set record numbers, and not in a good way. It was one of the lowest listened to podcasts I've ever put out, but I was kind of expecting it. You know, I took such a break and people got in a habit of not checking for it every week. So hopefully, this week is going to be the start and the beginning of, kicking it back up back to where it used to be. But, it was low. It was kind of discouraging, but again, I kind of, expected it. So we'll get it there. All good. So, Ro, let's talk about a few things that happened this past week. So there was I'm going to be blunt about it, the firings of three agents. They were released from their contracts, or they were not renewed. I should put it like that. What are your thoughts about these agents released? There was two that went out on a positive note and one who didn't so much, AKA Shane Helms. So What are your thoughts about it? Do you think, you know, it was kind of a time for change?
Well, you know, out of the three, the one that surprised me was Pat Kenny. I remember him from back in the ECW fans probably remember him. He was Simon Diamond. And I mean, I remember him being with the company since I started, because I started following Impact back in 04, but he was a long-tenured agent. So that was one that shocked me. Al Snow, he was a good hand. I kind of liked his work that he did with the Tribunal, but I guess, you know, just budget cuts. But as far as with who's the last one? It was Gregory Helms, correct?
Gregory Helms, yep, and Al Snow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Gregory Helms, you know, the moment that the Hardys left, I was just wondering. I always figured he was on borrowed time and stuff. So, you know, the fact to even see him around, I was just like, okay. So then once I didn't even know about his departure until I seen the slander. Once I saw the slander, I'm like, all right, of course, you know. And I think we talked about it. Like I said, you know, it's funny how, you know, some of these guys, not everybody, but some of these people, when they leave the company, the first thing they do, they're quick to go to Twitter and just, you know, like, you know, slander the company. And, you know, look, we don't know what happens behind the scenes and stuff like that. But I would think, you know, most professionals, you know, you keep that stuff behind closed doors. You don't go put it on social media. And it just leads me to believe sometimes they do this to appeal to that other fan base. You know, it's because you notice anytime, you know, something negative happens, it's automatically tweeted out when it in regards to Impact, you know, or at least from what I've seen. I don't know. Do you see it like that?
I do. And a guy like Shane Helms, and if you're tuning in on Twitter right now, you can hear me. You cannot hear my man, Ro the Great, right now. Make sure to tune in to KOTMpodcast.site this weekend to hear the entire thing. So I agree with you, first of all, about Pat Kenny. That one was really unfortunate. I mean, you've been with the company 13 years, and I'm part of Sienna's fan group or VIP group on Facebook, and she was pretty upset with it because she said Pat Kenny had a... what is the word? Oh my God. Agent. She was the agent for almost all her matches with Impact. So, you know, I asked her who's going to agent the Knockouts, and she says she has no idea. But that one really shocked me quite a bit. But to make your point about Shane Helms, it was almost like I'm an Impact guy, and then all of a sudden he loses his job, and he's like trying to pander to the WWE audience all of a sudden. He's trying to pander to that anti-Impact group all of a sudden. And it's very unfortunate. And I will say this, I think that his relationship with the Hardys did in fact play a role with that. So kind of an example of how I'm going to put it is that I've had drama with people in my life, and you know, I'm not really a magnet for drama, but there's times where I've had some issues, and there will be a middle guy who might be my friend. But there's been times where I've cut contact with that middle guy because I'm like, if I've got this guy in the middle between me and these people I have problems with and we're not seeing a resolution, like this person is not helping the situation. You know, like if he was truly a loyal, like it sucks to be in the middle. But the good thing about being in the middle is that you can be a mediator. And when you're sitting here and, you know, I'm Impact, and then Hardy and Rebby are talking all this shit over here, and you're just, and then the next day you're having a conversation with them on Twitter, like, hey, what's up? You know, that's not loyalty to the company. And I do think that played a huge role. You know, he was brought in to fix the X Division. All he did was slow the X Division down. We only got one good X Division match last year. That was the one, I think I mentioned on the last podcast, where Mark Andrews did he jumped off the structure, the Ultimate X structure. That's the only X Division, the entire match, the entire year that I can remember was like, this was a great match. Like it was, if you think about the four-way matches at Slammiversary, I think Bound for Glory is a four-way match too. Like it was just a bunch of chain wrestling. Like I'm going to monkey flip you, now you monkey flip me. Like it wasn't X Division shit. It was just he was not doing what he needed to do, and I mean, God, the X Division has been better in the last.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And I feel like once they brought Sanjay back on board and stuff like that, and I seen he was in a work, you know, working as a producer, I was like, all right, this stuff is going to really get better. And I mean, that's one thing I could say, like, where I noticed that, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but that and the tag team wrestling has really been like a point of emphasis with Impact, and I've seen the improvements with that. So that's one thing I am, you know, like really like where, you know, because for me, as far as tag team wrestling, sometimes it's like, eh, but like as far as with Impact tag team wrestling, like it gets my attention, man.
Right. And obviously we had to start trimming the fat. And from what I understood, they wanted to keep agents on board who can actually mix it up in the ring as well. And, you know, I use the story. It's funny. I just had this conversation with my wife the other day. So my dad retired from the healthcare business. He owned 3 nursing homes, did that forever in California. And then he retired and moved to Las Vegas to be a bartender. Like he just decided, I'm going to have a life. I'm just going to live it up now. So at the hotel that he works at in Las Vegas, they laid off about 80-90% of his workers because they got bought by a bigger hotel. My dad stayed on board, and they kept my dad because not only is he a bartender, but he also cooks. He almost had his culinary degree. He tried to get on the side while he was running his businesses, but he can cook. He can bartend if he has to wait tables. You know what I'm saying? He's multifaceted. So it's not in the company's best interest to let him go. And he understood that as a businessman. And that's kind of where Impact is going too. You know, we want some agents that, aka Abyss, Sanjay. I'm guessing Madison Rayne's going to step into that role if she's not already. That they can step in the ring if necessary. But all these guys who were just like on-screen characters or just behind-the-scene characters, you know, there's better places for that money. So they decided.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, too, when you look at the three, I mean, like, when I think of Al Sun, you figure he's an older guy. I mean, some of the work he was doing, he was still an agent while he was managing the Tribunal, was he? Or was that just something he transitioned into after the Tribunal left the company?
No, from what I understood, he was an agent for quite some time. He just, you know, he stepped into that role at the Tribunal for a while. To get him over or whatever, get him over.
Yeah,
but
you know, roles like that though, it's cool. Like you're saying, you know, if you can get these agents where it doesn't even necessarily be, do they need to be active or competitors? But even like, you know, I'm sure Madison Rayne, you know, I don't know how old she is, but she still can go in the ring. But you know, even if you get some of these people who, you know, maybe can't go in the ring like how they used to, put them as, you know, managers, you know, mouthpiece, valets and stuff. There's ways to use them. So, you know, I'm all about versatility and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to, you know, trim the fat, like you said. So it is what it is. But I just kind of wish and I hope moving forward with these, you know, potential signees and stuff or people who join the company, they, you know, do a better job of evaluating some of these people as far as like maybe they got aspirations to hopefully go back to their former company, because we see this happen far too often, and especially when they come from that other company. I refer to that other company. I don't really like to use, you know, WWE, but
I say the E.
you always see it happen and stuff, and it's just like, you know, the one thing and the one comparison I make, and I just say, and I feel like this, you know, wrestlers who come from other companies, like say, even I'll use AJ Styles, for example, you know, it took him a while before he actually got, I mean, I don't keep up with the company anymore, but it took him a while for him to get a significant push when he went to the other company. Whereas when some of these people come to Impact and stuff like that, it's like, you know, right to the moon. Like I look at Shane Helms and stuff. Honestly, that whole Helms dynasty, who got over in that?
No,
you know, even though Trevor Lee, I believe he won the belt twice and stuff like that, but it seemed like you would have thought that, you know, he was going to eventually win, Shane Helms was going to win the championship because he was getting more of the TV time than Trevor Lee or Andrew Everett. So, and that's the stuff I hate. It's like you get some of these guys that come over and they want to help the company, or they claim to want to help the company, but sometimes I just get the feeling they go to business for themselves and they're trying to, you know, eventually get back to where they became, I mean, where they went to and stuff. So
right. Shane Helms was basically to the X Division what the Hardys were to the tag team division. They were out there getting themselves over, you know, and I mean, I agree with it, man. I really do. I've run into very few Impact fans who didn't agree with it. They didn't like the, you know, the direction of the X Division. And someone just asked me here on Twitter if does rocking the goat shirt mean I'm rooting for Josh and Steiner? I don't know who I'm rooting for in that match. I'm rooting for a good match because I'm very concerned about that one. I really am. I'm concerned that that one is the big stinker of the card. But I really just love the shirt. I love the red, white, and blue. I'm wearing the special edition limited one. I got the very last large one from Shop Impact, so I had to get it. I just loved it. So, and some of you listening on Twitter can chime in here too. What do you think about with Helms going? My personal opinion is that is a clear sign that when the contracts come up that Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett are out too.
That concerns me too, man.
Because I can't help but to think Matt Hardy is going to get Helms on over at the E. And it's really funny because on Facebook, I see like, oh, Shane Helms come to the WWE. Da, da, da. And I'm just like, dude, they're like agent, the cruiserweight division. Yeah. Please take him. Yeah. see if you guys are saying that a year from now.
It, you know what it is when I see a lot of it because it happens so often now. Like I think I joked with you one time. I said, I bet you if Impact pushed Grado enough, and not to knock a Grado and stuff like that, is he even still with the company?
Grado, I think, is with the company. I believe that he is. I think he's got his picture up on the website with all the Slammiversary people. I just think they haven't brought him over from the UK because I don't think they had any. There was a few guys that did when the new regime took over. They weren't bringing everyone over because they didn't have plans for him. So I think he's been doing UK stuff.
Yeah, I know the point I was going to make though. I feel like a lot of these people, you know, when you see fans say, "Oh, you know, you should come join developmental and stuff like that." I don't really think they care so much to actually see them. I think it's more to say like, oh, so they can turn back around. Oh, you know, your best guy or your best knockout. Oh, they joined our company now. Your company don't have anything now. You know, who's going to watch and stuff. So it's just a troll move and stuff like that. And look, I, you know, one thing I've, you know, come to the realization with some of these wrestlers, you know, that we like and stuff. You know, you hate to see them leave because I feel like with Impact's giving a lot of these people the best opportunity to, you know, shoot for the brass ring. I hate to use that, but I have nothing else to use. But, you know, they have the best opportunity and it's up to you whether you, you know, swim or drown and stuff like that. So, you know, why not join Impact? You know, you can accomplish a lot. I mean, I've seen guys and, you know, wrestlers from, you know, other companies join Impact. It's like, damn, you know, they would have never got this push in where they came from. But it's like, that's the cool thing with Impact and what makes me an Impact fan. It seems like they're willing to give people shots and stuff like that. And just what you're willing to do with it, you know, there's no situation where, you know, if you happen to get over and the higher ups aren't fond of you or whatever like that, that kills your push. If you're over, you're over. You know what I mean? But back to what you're saying, that is one of my concerns because I feel like with Trevor Lee, he's really underutilized, and I feel like he would be a great addition in the grand championship tier. I mean, I consider it the mid-card, but I think even though, yeah, he could still, you know, dance around in the X Division, but I think he should be elevated into that tier. And then, you know, Andrew Everett, I think had not the injury, I think you would have had a good story built up where, you know, you could have had him chasing after, you know, the X Division belt, you know, so. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
It really feels like Andrew Everett's the odd man out and that Sanjay got the push that he was scheduled to get. But another thing I want to bring up, obviously leading up to Slammiversary now, there's a lot of podcast interviews going on. I wasn't able to land one before the pay-per-view, unfortunately. But there's a lot of Impact stars are doing interviews, and James Storm did one, and I just wanted to bring this up because I found this very interesting. The host asked him about the DCC, and if he was happy with the way that it went, the way it ended. And he said that he definitely wanted to see it continue, but that it was never, the DCC was never what it was intended to be. So he actually said that the DCC was supposed to be a babyface group, and he was being very instrumental in, okay, this is how the storyline needs to go. And he said that the storyline was supposed to tie into how Bram escaped the trunk, what happened to him, to James Storm, when he was suspended by Billy Corgan, how they found Kingston, that type of thing. But it all became like super rushed, and they came over and they were doing like a Shield type takeover type of thing, and there were heels, and I don't know, it has nothing to do with Slammiversary, but I just found that DCC story very funny, because they never quite got over his heels, mainly because of, you got to have the right body language, and James Storm was still wrestling like a babyface and all that stuff. So yeah, that's just something I found really interesting. We're going to get into the Impact show now. I want to ask you first, though, what are your general thoughts on these India shows in general? Because there's, if you look at a social media reaction, most people are like, oh, you know, it's so great because of the crowd. I have some issues with the crowd thing, and I hope I don't piss people off when I bring it up here in a second. But what do you think? What are your thoughts in general? Like, do you think they're delivering as far as a build up to Slammiversary, or do they come across more as like house shows, or maybe they should have done the India tour like a month ago? I mean, what are your general thoughts?
So you know, I wouldn't say they come over as house shows. The first India taping, it was kind of, you know, blah to me. I wasn't really feeling it. You know, the one that we're going to discuss later is a little bit better. But I don't know, I've just been finding myself, man, these past couple tapings where only, you know, a couple of matches are the ones that like catch my eye. And I think in part that has to do with not everyone being able to come over to the tapings and stuff. So, you know, you're not really getting LAX. I mean, you're getting the vignettes and stuff like that, but you're not getting to see them wrestle. You know, Veterans of War, Laredo Kid and Garza. I can't think of any others at the top of my head, but I just think it's like, you know, we're seeing the same people, you know, with these tapings and stuff like that. So it kind of does get stale and stuff like that, because you know, we already kind of know as far as what matches we're getting and stuff. But, you know, like I said, without, you know, the inclusion of LAX, you know, it's going to have people wondering, well, are they going to wrestle at the pay-per-view? And one would assume, yeah. So it's been hit and miss for me, though.
Right. It's like they brought a lot of guys on the tapings who, guys and gals who are not even a part of the pay-per-view. So I don't know. And then you're trying to push D'Angelo Williams, who's not there. You're trying to push Scott Steiner, who's not there. You know, you would imagine LAX is going to have a match. You're trying to push them, but they're not there. So they're missing a lot of key ingredients. For me personally, I'm not connecting with the shows as a fan at all. As great as it is to see the energy from the crowd, I'm not connecting with it, because even though I said on social media the other day that this crowd is showing how entitled we really are in the United States and how we take things for granted, because you see how happy they are and the joy. At the same time, I can't relate to that, because in the United States, nobody acts like that. No one's that happy about anything. You know, what is a movie? I think it's Knocked Up, where he's like, I wish I was as happy about anything as my kids are about bubbles. Like, he's just like, you get to a certain point, you don't have that kind of, for me to react like that, it'd have to be game 7 of the NBA finals. The Clippers are there and win at the buzzer and win their first championship. Like, that's the only thing that's going to get that kind of craziness out of me. So as much as I appreciate the energy and it makes the show fun to watch, I also can't relate to that kind of energy. A lot of people think it comes off forced. It's not forced, because Sienna had said in her VIP group also that they were cheering for everybody. So if you see the Meltzer bomb where he's like, oh, they had to tell him who to cheer for and who to, there was some truth to that, but it was because the fans were so happy to be there that they were popping for everybody.
Yeah, they don't know who's the, you know, heels and faces. I don't keep up with Meltzer, by the way, because to me, you know what? Anytime something positive, they can have a couple weeks, Impact could have a couple weeks of good positive news just something. It's somehow, some way, something leaks and stuff. I still believe there's a mole in that locker room, but hey, that's another story for another day. But
are you calling me a liar?
But the couple things I want to compare it to. You're a little younger than me. Are you familiar with American Gladiators?
It's banned in 49 states.
Yeah, I was a toddler, but yeah.
Oh, okay, so I think Matt Morgan actually did one of the later seasons of it. But so when I was a kid, I know my brother's laughing right now listening to this because him and I used to watch this together as kids. But when we were kids, there was a season of American Gladiators, well, several seasons, but it was like very competitive and they were actually out there trying to win. And as a fan or as a viewer, you're really getting behind these people. And then the show went off the air for several years and they made a return in the early 2000s. And Hulk Hogan was the host of it. And it was really cartoonish and it felt really scripted. Like they were cutting promos, like the competitors, you're like, oh, what are you, tell us about what's going to happen today. And they would just have these real snazzy, jazzy, lines and comebacks, and like it was just all really, really scripted. And watching the fans in the crowd, it was like, because the show was so scripted, they were just there cheering for everything. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't emotionally connected to the show whatsoever because it came across like some kind of cartoony version of it, as opposed to years ago when it was like a real competition. And it also kind of reminds me of, if you ever been to like dinner theater or something, and there's the good guy and the bad guy, and it's like, all right, when the cowboy comes, you're going to cheer, and when the bank robber comes, you're going to boo. And it's like there's cheering and booing, but there's no real emotion or heat behind it. Like it's just like you're going on along with the show. And that's kind of how wrestling was in the 80s. But for that reason, I'm just not like connecting with. I'm not saying they don't understand the product or they're not Impact fans or wrestling fans. I know that they are, but it's just, I'm just not connecting with it for whatever reason. I haven't been a fan of these India shows at all. I thought last week's was okay. I thought this one was okay too. And like you mentioned, I didn't really care for the first one, but let's get into the actual show. Let's talk about it. This first match of the evening was the Sony 6 elimination match. It was Trevor Lee versus Davey Richards versus Suicide versus Braxton Sutter versus Eddie Edwards versus Matt Sydal. So here we are getting a 19-minute match, and only two people in this entire match are featured at Slammiversary. So it's like, hey, we're going to kill the first quarter of the show with this match, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So had a hard time connecting with it, but do you enjoy it, or did you kind of look at it the same as me, where it was a fun match, but it was also the only two people we were really paying attention to were Davey and Eddie.
You know, I enjoyed it, but the first thing I'd ask myself, because I just said, you know, after it seemed like they were starting to mix it up a little bit, instead of just having the multi-man matches, you know, they were having the one-on-ones. Like I remember a couple impacts ago they had where they had Davey Richards versus Suicide, and I just thought that was awesome because I was like, a one-on-one X Division match, we need to see more of these. And then when I seen you know, they were having it was an elimination match, and I guess they're gonna give out a trophy, I was like, okay, at least they're wrestling for something. I don't have a problem with it, but I feel like they do it way too often, as far as with, you know, just throw some guys together they don't have anything necessarily for. And, you know, if that was the case, you could have replaced, you know, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. You could have used is Marche Rocket still an X Division, considered an X Division guy or not?
I think Marche Rocket is considered part of the X Division, but I mean, he did get that match with Moose not too long ago. Okay, obviously, so he wasn't there in India, but
okay. It was just, the point is, what I was just making is, because I feel like that's what took away from the match, because, you know, like, okay, we know that Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards are going to be fighting at the pay-per-view and stuff like that. So I feel like it took away from everything else. But, you know, I enjoyed it. It was cool. You know, I didn't really have any complaints and stuff. But, you know, I see, you know, Matt Sydal's been racking up wins. I'm wondering, is he going to be in line, you know, next for an X Division title shot, you know? So I guess we shall see.
Yeah, it seems they're trying to build Matt Sydal up, but it's like, bring Matt Sydal in, win several matches, and then disappear for a couple of weeks, and then win some matches, and it's it's like you don't really know what they're building towards with him, but they're doing a good job with Davey and Eddie as far as, I wish they didn't get their hands on each other so much. That's kind of always been a pet peeve of mine before a pay-per-view, but they're doing a good job of telling the story. And, you know, those guys between this and the Gauntlet match last week, they weren't out there, you know, trying to exchange blows with other wrestlers. I mean, they were all about kicking each other's ass. And that was the only thing. The one thing that I thought was weird was that they disqualified Eddie Edwards after Davey had already been disqualified.
Excuse me?
So
yeah,
I watched the show again this morning, and I guess I kind of got it because the referee was trying to stop him, be like, no, 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 no. So it was almost like he disqualified him for not listening to his commands. But I just thought that was weird. I was like, why are we disqualifying a dude for hitting a guy with a chair who's already been disqualified? So, but you know, it told a nice story for the match. And then of course Matt Sydal and Trevor Lee were the last two. Had a nice little run there. And then Matt Sydal was the winner of the trophy. So the owner of Sony Six came out, and then Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, God. Did you hear what Josh said? He's like, why is he out here?
Yeah.
I was like, exactly. You know what some of us fans are feeling.
This is my favorite part about Bruce Pritchard. Absolute silence.
What does he bring to the company, man?
He's the worst on-air character in pro wrestling. He really is.
You disgust me!
I try to kind of get behind him because I get behind everyone with Impact, but I cannot stand when he comes out. He comes out yelling for no reason. He comes out... Yeah, oh, my God. Is he a heel? Is he a babyface? he's the worst. And I think there's some really bad on-screen characters out there. I think in the E, JBL is really bad. I think Booker T... For me, Booker T was always the worst on-screen character in wrestling. He doesn't even know how to be a black guy. Like, he's that bad. You know, he tries to use shucky ducky quack. Like, he tries to say things that in the wrestling world black guys say, but they don't really say that in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's awful. But yeah, Bruce is the worst, the absolute worst. Speaking of the worst, we got a Swoggle and Spud backstage. So I guess we're getting a street fight with them next week, which there's good and bad to this. The good is that we're not going to get them at Slammiversary, because this was my concern. I was like, dude, when are they going to have their match? It's getting really close to the pay-per-view. And I was like dreading that the little graphics that they put out for the matches for Slammiversary. I was dreading that this like Swoggle and Spud one was going to come out.
Yeah, because I thought I heard that they said it was going to be at Slammiversary, and I was just like, you know what? And I even found myself today, because I ended up watching the rest of the Impact at work, and I just said, you know what, with Spud, like, it's a damn shame what they've done to him, because at least at minimum, they could have had him be a lower-tier heel, and I would have had him, sorry to get off topic, but I would have used him as, like, you know, when you have a newcomer coming in and stuff like that, instead of pushing him to the top, you know, he has to go through Spud. You know, you could have Spud cut, you know, this rant like, oh, you know, I'm tired of taking a backseat to these outsiders and da-da-da-da-da. I feel, you know, when some of these new acquisitions come to the company, they'd be better received if it looked upon as they, you know, were working their way up the ladder versus just being thrown in. But I just feel like they could do so much more with Spud, and it's like, why are they wasting him to feud with Swoggle? I mean, I'm all like, I hope he was kind of signed from the old regime and his contract's coming up soon, because I cannot stand Swoggle, man.
Oh, I guarantee Swoggle's on like a 6-month deal. I don't think he's on anything like long term. I said last week on the podcast, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. I thought that this was a golden opportunity after the first attack to make Swoggle like a dark character, mm-hmm. like a little mean little evil midget. And they could have built Spud back into a babyface in a pretty serious role. When I mean serious, like someone you can take serious. Because I was thinking just several months ago, I was like, dude, we can't bring Rockstar Spud back. He's been, you know, with the shit with Aaron Rex and whatever he was doing before that, like, it was always so much comedy. I was like, dude, there's no way this guy's going can ever go back to a serious competitor. And then after the first time Swoggle attacked him, I was like, oh my god, they can do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it you know what, I think the hardest thing, if he was feuding with someone else, I think maybe, but I think no matter what, well, you're saying as far as Spud being a babyface. Yeah, you know what? I think they missed that opportunity because people don't like Swoggle. I mean, no. He's not that I mean, you've been to the Impact Zone. I only see on TV, but the demographic seems to be more of an older demographic. And I always felt like Swoggle appealed more to, you know, the younger kids and stuff like that. So I think pushing Spud as a heel, he's going to get cheered if he's whooping Swoggle. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to see
absolutely. Him. Yeah.
You know, but I think if they took the time, they could salvage Spud. But I think you'd probably have to start him back off in the X Division again. Whereas I think if they would have not damaged him so much and put him in that comedy role, I mean, he could have been at, you know, at least mid-card guy, because I remember him going when he cashed in option C. Was it against Angle or was it against EC3?
I think it was against EC3.
Okay, and I remember him having a good match where I was just like, well, damn, well, Impact, you actually put the belt on him, which I wouldn't have a problem with, because I feel like that's something that Impact can do well. I think whoever they make champion, with, I guess, exception to Eddie Edwards, because I heard, you know, he got a lot of backlash. Well, a lot of fans had a backlash, but it seems like whoever they make champion, fans will at least give, you know, whoever they make champion the benefit. So I think if they wanted to put the belt on him, I think people would get behind it, you know. So, but yeah, man, hey, if it's not on the pay-per-view, that's good. That, you know, saves a slot for something that we care about.
We got a Joseph Park and Borash. Another Joseph Park brought him a frozen pizza, and I guess there's some humor to this stuff. As I said a little earlier, I'm really worried about this match, about it being any good, because as I said last week, this Joseph Park character can't work. Like, if it was Abyss, that's a different story, but Joseph Park can't work. JB can't work. Josh, like, kind of knows what he's doing, but aside from that Swanton, like, he didn't look good in the ring. And then Steiner's like 56 or whatever he is. I just cannot see any combination of them mixing it up where it's a good quality match. I mean, I really don't. There's no way in hell. We've been watching wrestling forever. There's no way Josh Matthews and Steiner are winning. So we already know that they're losing. There's a good chance Steiner is going to turn on Josh Matthews, because Josh Matthews, like, slaps him or something. Like, I think it's going to be very predictable.
JB, we have to approach this from a different angle.
I don't know. I don't hate it. I just wish it wasn't at the pay-per-view. After that, we get Laurel, Van, Yes, and Sienna versus Allie and Rosemary. This was disappointing, to say the least.
Agreed.
I mean, I was pumped. I was ready for this match. Like, I didn't give a shit what else was going to happen. This was the match I was waiting for. This is the top four women in the division.
Yeah, you know what? The thing that got me, you know, because it seems like such a short match. Well, it was a short match. But
2 minutes.
For that, like, the first thing I was thinking, I was all like, because, you know, they propped it as it being Rosemary's first loss and stuff. And, you know, so I go back and think, I'm like, wait, didn't she lose or whatever? But I said, maybe they're considering a pinfall. But then I'm all like, for her to have her first loss, why like that quick? You know, they could have done more to protect her and stuff, because, you know, Rosemary, you know, she's, you know, the queen of the knockouts pretty much and stuff like that. She's, I mean, I want to say to the same extent, but she is like the Lashley of the knockouts division, meaning, right, like, you know, there's not too many people that can dominate her, you know. So for her to lose like that and that quick, and I have no problem with Laurel Van Ness. I do think that, you know, she could be the bridezilla, but it's time to kind of upgrade the gimmick a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, change the tire some, okay? I mean, I've never been married or never been divorced, but I think, you know, eventually it's time to, you know, move. You got to start showing that you're moving on and stuff. But, yeah, that was just my thing. I just kind of just felt like it was too short. And for Rosemary to lose, take her first loss and stuff like that, you know, that was just a poor way to give her first loss. You know,
it was the worst way. And Super Kick Savant here on Twitter, he just said, he said he wants that Van Ness gimmick done away with. And he mentioned the same thing you did about Rosemary eating the pin. I'm personally a big fan of the LVN gimmick. I mean, it's just something different. It has a shelf life, so eventually they're going to find how to, you know, make it normal again. But I personally find it pretty funny. But as far as Rosemary eating the pin, one of my pet peeves in wrestling, and I have a lot of pet peeves, but one of my pet peeves is champions taking non-title pins. But sometimes I can handle it in a tag team match because Rosemary did not lose this match. Rosemary and Allie were a team. Their team lost the match. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a singles match where you're responsible for yourself, your own actions. Like, when you're a team, that's different. And, you know, sometimes I can look at the booking a little different and say, okay, you know, it's a tag team match. There was a distraction. There was what have you. But I kind of get why they did it. But they were backed into a corner because the Sienna and Rosemary have faced off twice before. No, three times, I think. I know it was 2 1-night onlys. I think it was twice, a couple 1-night onlys. So Laurel has not looked strong. And I'm not Laurel. Sienna has not looked strong in any way versus Rosemary. And it's kind of like for her to be taken serious with a pay-per-view, they felt the need. Okay, we got to get her a win here. But it was just ridiculous the way it was done. I mean, it was a 2-minute match. And Laurel's curb stomp is not a good move. The very first time she ever did it, I think it was against Madison Rain. Like, she sold it like a champ, but the rest of them have looked really bad. So I kind of wish you would move on to a different move, but
yeah, I thought she was doing the, wasn't she using the, what do they call it? The kill switch, Unprettier or whatever it is, what Christian Cage used to use. I thought she was using that.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah, she uses that on the indies. The kill switch.
She should go with that because, in my opinion, these four women and stuff like that, I think this is like the heart of the knockouts. So if the knockouts title was traded amongst these four women, I have no problem with it. I like all of them. I think they're, you know, they're good key cogs for the division and stuff. But what they just have to do, man, is just when they're having matches like this, like, you know, like you're saying, you know, you hate to see the champion lose, but it should be in a situation where, like, you know, they use a tactic, you know, well, I guess you can't low blow, but hit her with the belt or something, some kind of advantage where it looked like, man, they had to, you know, go all out to, you know, get one over on her because, you know, it's Rosemary. She's a knockouts champion and stuff. But I mean, it is what it is, man. But I just wish it would have been longer and, you know, they would have made Rosemary's first loss, you know, mean more than like this. But it is what it is.
Right, because remember, Ali introduced a foreign object into the match, and KM brought it down. So there was an easy way out to use that object. It looked like a giant piece of asparagus. I wasn't sure what it was. I guess it was some kind of kendo stick, but a foreign object was introduced into the match. They could have used that to, you know, to get one over on Rosemary. I would have just had them lose by disqualification and beat up Rosemary with something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it did a huge disservice to Rosemary's character overall, though, and the match. This is something that they do. The E does this a lot, too, and Impact does it, too. It's like you're almost incapable. You have one or two things. You're either going to give us a good match or you're going to give us a shit match that furthers a storyline. And mm-hmm. It's like, I don't see why they just can't do both. We could have got a competitive match, but for whatever reason, they're like, okay, let's do a 2-minute match and then have the storyline continue. But here's something, dude. I was just thinking about this. I guarantee no one's thought about this. And when I say it, you're going to do it. The listeners you're going to be like, oh, you're right. So what's the longest running storyline in Impact Wrestling? It's the Allie storyline. It's mm-hmm. It's the started off as Maria's sidekick. She was a heel. Then she was, you know, get the sympathetic baby face. And then there was the wedding and there was the, you know, now she's with Braxton. Now there's the Rosemary. Like, she's her saga is the longest running storyline in Impact. Yet none of these people have anything to do at the pay-per-view. None of them have a match. There's Sienna, but she has the match with Rosemary. It's a unification. So that's nothing to do with the storyline. But Laurel, Allie, Braxton, KM, Congo Kong, none of them have a match at the pay-per-view.
Are you watching one of Braxton's matches?
You know what I noticed? And I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but it seems like what happens, and I use the AliEx example. I even used to, I don't know if it just happened like that, but like even with the James Storm, because, you know, it seems like they'll have like this long-term plan, like this long story that they're going to draw out. And like we all thought, I'm assuming that, you know, the end game was Ali facing Rosemary for the Knockouts Championship. Okay, or, you know, regaining it, whatever, you know, same thing with James Storm and stuff. And I don't know if it's departures that happen or what, but it seems like before the storyline comes to a head, something happens and it breaks off and it kind of trickles into something else. So you had, you know, with the Ali and the Maria, and, you know, she finally, you know, womans up and stands up to Maria. Then Maria leaves the company. Okay. And so then instead of, you know, Ali going on being a wrestler and, you know, competing in the Knockouts division, you know, her and Braxton fall in love, and then she gets tied into, you know, the Bridezilla story and stuff like that. I just feel like a lot of these storylines sometimes, you know, they go on and for whatever reason, something happens and then the course changes and stuff. And I think that's what happened with Ali and stuff, because if you look at it now, like I see some of these matches, especially with Braxton facing Kane or Congo Kong, like it's like, what are they wrestling for? You know, okay, same thing with Laurel Van Ness. Like, all right, like, what are you still beefing for? I mean, it's, you know, you've been wrestling. You got, what are you guys wrestling for? You know, like, I mean, I don't know, but I just feel like a lot of the stories, they break off. Like, there's an end game, and then what ends up happening is something happens backstage, or somebody who was behind it leaves the company and stuff like that. Then it just kind of it just breaks off. You know, so
right. I mean, I think Mike and Maria splitting threw a cog in what they were going to do with it, but I don't know where they're going with that either, because KM beat Sutter, Congo Kong beat Sutter, so it's kind of like these guys keep getting the one up on them. But so what's the issue? Why are you still going after them? Like, you've beat Braxton twice. Someone asked here on Twitter if we're getting Ali versus Laurel in the pay-per-view. Not to my knowledge. I don't read spoilers or anything, but I can see where it can happen. Because like I just said, none of these guys, this is the longest running storyline in Impact, and none of them have anything to do with the pay-per-view. Like, it's like you're teasing that there's going to be this big payoff and to, mm-hmm. you know, be patient with the storyline, then nothing happens. You know, then we get nothing. So we get Sanjay's, they let us know Sanjay has a celebration. And then we get footage of LAX invading the smaller promotion. So I had said this in my blog when I took a break from the podcast, that I felt that they were trying to do something with LAX similar to the what was the Hardy's thing called about the gold expedition of gold or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I've already tuned the Hardy's out of my system for the most part, but expedition of gold or whatever it was. So it dawned on me, because I was like, why do they have DFW tag team titles? I was like, what is the point of that? And then when LAX won them both, I was like, that's what they're doing. They're trying to relive that Hardy stuff again in a little bit. And you can see now they're going to the other promotions. They won the House of Glory titles too. So that's definitely where they're going with it. From what I'm understanding on the rumors, I think it's going to be a three-way tag match. I think they're trying to get a tag team from Mexico and a tag team from Japan. I don't know. We'll just see. I'm sure we'll hear something soon. I hope
now,
so.
Is it going to be a unification? Are they going to unify the belts?
I would imagine they'll be unified, because they hold both. So it was really silly to even have a tournament. But,
you know, with as far as GFW, because I've seen a lot of people, even, you know, even Impact fans, you know, talking about, like, you know, why are they having these belts, and these belts are being showcased and stuff. And, you know, I thought that too. But here was the thing I was thinking. I was just thinking about this earlier today. I think, you know, after, you know, Slammiversary, when they do a lot of the unifications, there'll probably be no more mention of it. I think this was kind of like a way for Jarrett to kind of get to do what he didn't get to do, because, you know, we all know he wanted to launch it and, you know, stuff happened and stuff like that. So, you know, seeing his champions, you know, defend the belt or whatever like that, I think that's just for him. It's just kind of like, you know, if it's going to go down, he gets to, you know, he at least has the opportunity to kind of see it, you know, go down and stuff like that. But no, that'll be good if they have that. I was of the mindset, if they don't have that, maybe have a tag team invitational and stuff like that. You know, maybe they announce it and then, you know, the winner becomes the unified Impact tag team champions and stuff. You know, that way, you know, you could have, who knows, you know, outside tag teams. But I like that triple threat better. That sounds awesome.
Someone pointed out too, no, there's nothing going on for Magnus. That's really unfortunate. I think they decided there was no money in Magnus versus Lashley, but I kind of wish they would have tried to build up Christina Von Erie and Magnus for, you know, to, I would have rather see them defend their titles and defend the glory. But I think you got a point. I think the inclusion of the GFW titles has been closure for Jeff Jarrett. You know, he never got to do what he wanted to do with the company. You know, he wanted his champions, his titles, his stories to be on TV, and it never happened. You know, I think he easily could have set up an iPay-per-view thing or something. I just think he had very big aspirations for it, and it didn't pan out. So I guess I can see that, you know, it's probably very difficult for him to say, okay, GFW is going to be no more after this. I'm sure it's very difficult for him. So, no, I get it. You make a good point there.
The one thing I will say, will add to, I think a lot of these people, and I don't know if it's been rumored or anything, this is just, some of this stuff is just ideas that I have, but I think what they should do, you know, for some of these people who don't have anything going on, you know, maybe have a match. Like, the one thing that I like, I think they do it at Bound for Glory, though. But you know where they have the one where, you know, people can get briefcases and stuff like that? Where that way, yeah, you get all these people on the card and stuff. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but it gives the opportunity. You get all these people on the card, and then they get to compete for something and stuff like that. You know, that's cool, but I don't know.
They have a lot, Impact has always had a lot of good gimmick matches, but at the end, it's up, Kyle. Kyle tuning in on Twitter. At the end of the day, even though they have a lot of really nice ideas for gimmick matches, they mean nothing at the end of the day. Like, what you're talking about, I know they used to do the Feast of Fire, the open mic night, open fight night. That could be their version of the Money in the Bank, and they killed that one off already. So, let's see. We got Sanjay Dutt's X Division Championship Celebration. Of course, there were trolls online saying that they copied WWE by doing this, which, you know, this has been in the plans for Impact for a while now. So it's pretty that's pretty ridiculous. I think
I love the trolls, man. Gotta love the trolls. I you know what, I was gonna tweet one time, but I just said I kind of just wish Impact fans some, and I get it sometimes because it could be annoying and stuff, you know, don't feed to them. You know, you gotta look at it like this. If they disliked Impact that much, how are they able to keep up with everything that's going on? Like, you know, I know you told me you don't watch WWE. I sure as hell don't. You know, the only time I learn about something is somebody retweets something making fun of something, you know, or maybe once in a blue moon I'll go and look to see, you know, who's champion or whatever like that. But I have no clue what's going on, so I'm not able to go on the WWE accounts to go talk trash or anything like that. But, you know, these people, they know what's going on and stuff like that, you know? So, man, you got to just, you know.
It's like, I don't even follow any of those accounts, so I have no idea. And even if I wanted to talk shit, there's no way for me to do it. But my problem with the first couple episodes in India was that they were spending so much time, instead of good storytelling for the pay-per-view, they were spending a lot of time pandering to the Indian audience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I felt they're going with the Sanjay thing too. I was like, okay, we're just, I mean, I guess it made sense. They're in India, so why not do it? But when Loki attacked him at the end, so for the record, I didn't really think the X Division title match was that great last week. I thought it was a good match, but I expected a lot more from it. I expected Loki to really kind of channel an inner heel because he was going to be booed against Sanjay, but he really didn't. But I like when Shira was out there, I was like, what's Shira doing here? Right, what's Shira doing here, guys? Shira's out there, and then this whole thing happens. And then when Loki you know, turns on him and does the heel thing. Like, that was great. I really like that. Sanjay's awful on the mic. I don't want to say he's awful, but Sanjay sounds like, you know, there's a way that wrestlers talk where I'm on the microphone and next week you and I. Sanjay talks like, how are you doing? This is Sanjay. I'm calling from Target. Is Mr. So-and-so there? Like, he's just talking to you normal. Like, we're talking on the phone or something like that. Like, there's no, he doesn't have that wrestler voice that you project your voice. He's just, I'll tell you what, low-key. How about a two out of three falls match? And he had to say it twice because it was so anticlimactic. Climactic in the way he delivered it. He had to be okay. So, in recap, you versus me, slam 15, two out of three falls. Like, oh my god, he's like your uncle that just calls, hey, how you doing? Just, you know, calling to check on you. I mean, there was no,
I didn't have too a problem with it. I did agree with you on the share thing, but let me ask you one thing, and it's kind of off the subject, and I apologize if I keep going off subject. It's just, you know, little tidbits here. You know, the one thing that's kind of I don't want to say irritates me, it's like whatever, but do you notice, and I don't know if we talked about this ever on Twitter, do you notice a lot of people in Impact, some of the wrestlers, they use the same finishers? Like, isn't, I know Loki uses the Warrior's Way, but doesn't Davey use it too? And then, yeah. I think El Patron does too. And I was just wondering, I'm all like, do they not know that? Like, because most of the time, I can't recall in too many promotions where you got people using the same finisher. I mean, DDT or something like that, that's one thing. But usually, like, if one guy is using the Shooting Star Press, you know, nobody else is using the Shooting Star Press.
You're right. So you got Moose and Lashley who both do the spear, even though Moose doesn't use the spear a whole lot. But he has done it once or twice. And then Shira and Moose, again, had the same, like, Shira's Sky High was very similar to Moose's Go to Hell. But now, yep, Moose changed that to, like, a one-handed choke slam. So, and then there was the Warrior's Way, and then Davey does the double stomp. There's a, oh man, there was another one that just hit me as you were saying all that. And
Everett,
it's got to come to me. Everett
and Saito.
The Shooting Star Press.
You know, I mean, it's no big deal, but I just look at it like it's like, you know, do you not, like, I mean, like I said, certain moves and stuff like that, if you're talking about like DDT or something like that, I get it, you know what I mean? But like,
right,
I'll say with El Patron, for example, I think he needs a new finisher anyways. Oh, that stomp, I can't stand
it's the worst move.
Man, I mean, it's just like, you're an Impact now, man. You're not limited. You can go all out. That frog splash you did a couple weeks ago, use that.
Yeah, that's do fun. That. Mm-hmm.
You know? But okay, but yeah, back to what you were saying. Yeah, I think they only brought Cher out because, you know, they're in India, you know, and I think he's portrayed as the hero and stuff like that. But I just kind of just wonder if, you know, once they go back to Orlando and stuff like that, how will that resonate? Like, is he just going to go back to being just where he was, or will they, you know, try to build him up and stuff like
right.
that?
And that's why I said they're spending a lot of time pandering to the audience, because we know when you go back to Impact Zone, Shira is not going to get a push. So it's just, that's why it's kind of ridiculous. Now, there's one thing at first when he attacked him, I was like, okay, this is great. This is good stuff. And then he did a double stomp on Shira and messed him up, and Seidel came down. I don't know what that was about, but all I was thinking in my head was like, okay, next week we're going to get Loki versus Shira. Loki's going to get a win, generate some heat. Like, that made a lot of sense to me. Okay, that's what's going to happen, giving him a win going into the pay-per-view. But then after that, we get KM versus Shira. And this was the most ridiculous part of the show, where Shira was coming out in the with the, after taking the double stomp with the bandaged ribs and the doctors with the stethoscopes, like, trying to hold him back and everything. You know, like, this big old dude, like, they sent, surely they had some better extras back there, but they sent a dude and a female out there to start to try to stop Shira. Like, the female was going to do anything to one of the biggest guys on the roster. And it was just so, I was like, you gotta be kidding me, dude. Like, people take the double stomp in a match and kick out of it. So you're going to tell me that one of the biggest dudes took the double stomp and his ribs are going to be messed up for the duration of the night? Like, it was so silly. And then hey, there's
But not to interrupt you, you know, and the last thing I think we didn't touch on, why did Matt Sydal come out? What did he have to do with anything?
I don't know, dude. I have no idea. I mean, I would imagine he's going to fight. He'll be the next in line for the X Division. Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of random. And that's the problem when you, like we said earlier, you're not bringing the whole roster out. Like, you just have a group of guys. So it's, some guys are being involved in angles that they have nothing to do with. Mm-hmm. So I thought instead of Sydal coming out, I think it would have been better for Loki to get more heat, to stay in the ring. And like, if you're going to tape up Shira's ribs, have Loki jump off the top rope like two or three times onto him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, really, really sell it. It just, I don't know. Someone's saying here, Super Kicks Yvonne again, that people don't kick out of Loki's double stomp usually. But I'm pretty sure Davey has done it once or twice that people have kicked out of it. Or maybe I'm even thinking of like another promotion where people do it. But I just know that move is not a tape up your ribs type of move.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think if someone did it to me in real life and I wasn't a pro wrestler, yeah, it probably hurt me. But in the wrestling world, that's not something that's going to take people out for the rest. So this match was, we got another 2-minute match. KM, there's no chance for this guy to get over as a monster heel. I mean, he does a good job as a heel of like, I don't like you, like I'm going to legitimately boo you type of guy. He's good at that. He's good at being an annoying heel or whatever, but it's like he's not going to win any matches. I mean, if you cannot beat Shira with his shit all taped up, like, there's no hope for you. And they probably
he's booked as a goof. I hate it because it's like, you know what? Like, he could be used to so much more. And then like you said, you know, being all taped up like that, and I was watching it, I'm like, this guy, Shira, is still going to win regardless. You know, right. Like, It was silly. It's a shame what they did, because I like the KM character. And you know what? He has quite the arsenal of moves. Have you seen some of the moves that he does as finishers?
Right. He can do a lot. That's why, you know, especially if you paired him up with Sienna now. They probably shouldn't have said he was related to Sienna, because now Sienna is always going to be kind of tied into this comedy guy. But I'm into the gimmick. I'm into the, are you calling me a liar?
Yeah, I love the vignettes that he was having and stuff. Those are cool.
Yeah, they're great. I found them to be really, really funny. But yeah, the match was a total waste of our time. You know, I thought Shira was better served, like I said, to be fed to Loki next week. But instead, they gave him a match this week to, again, pander to the audience to somehow get a win. You know, KM only missed one move the entire match, that splash, and it led to his defeat. So it was just kind of ridiculous. Why Kongo Kong came down, I'm like, I have no idea. It means nothing. And I guess they were trying to get some heat on him, but again, like, Kongo Kong's not doing anything at the pay-per-view. Neither is KM, neither is Shira. Like, why are we getting this long drawn-out segment after the match? That's what I'm talking about, where I kind of wish they weren't doing this right before the pay-per-view, because we're wasting a lot of time on stuff that doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's not good TV, it's not good stuff. It was just better served maybe a month or so ago. But now we're trying to get hype for the pay-per-view, and we're getting matches from guys that have nothing to do with the pay-per-view, have nothing to do with it whatsoever. So it was all kind of ridiculous.
I do like Kongo Kong, though, man. It's something about him. But, you know, I agree. Like, you know what? Like, it seems like he's beating the same guys and stuff. I mean, why not? You know, the idea that I would use is, why not just put him in a tag team? Have him compete in the tag team division. You know, no one's saying they got to dominate right now. But, you know, there's the thing with Impact. You got so many of these guys where maybe you don't have anything to do for them. Some of them, you compare them together, strengthen your tag team, you know?
Yeah, we need tag teams and we need heel tag teams.
Yes.
And, you know, to me, KM and Kong would be a nice addition to the division. You know, I don't see why they can't go with that. Repositioning my phone here. I don't see why they don't roll with that either, but they could definitely use them. So what else we got? So Moose is next with announcing his partner for the pay-per-view. We all know, unless you've been living under a rock, we all know who his opponent is, or his tag team partner is for the pay-per-view. I will say that I'm looking forward to this because I kind of want to see D'Angelo, D'Angelo Russell, the basketball player. What the hell is this guy's name?
D'Angelo
Williams, yeah. I kind of want to see what he can do in the ring. He looks like he can be pretty athletic when it comes to pro wrestling. So curious to see what he can do. But they've done such a poor job of building this one up for a number of reasons. Williams is not there, number one. He's one of the many people involved in the pay-per-view who are not there. Chris Adonis, no one cares about. I would say I did care about him to an extent until he had that terrible match with El Patron a couple weeks ago. After that, I was like, please take him off my TV screen. Moose has been doing some pretty crappy mic work with this. I know we're the positive podcast, but there's just a lot of things I'm picking apart about these India tapings. The only real drama in this was that Eli Drake obviously beat Moose in that Impact Grand Championship match, and he was not awarded the victory. I'm glad they're at least playing off that because he definitely won the match. But when was the last time you were offended by the word dummy?
Never in a million trillion years.
Ever.
I'm pretty sure I could tell my 7-year-old right now, hey, dummy. And and I get it for Eli Drake's gimmick. That's not what I'm talking about at all, because he does a great job with dummy. But Moose has been milking that. Eli Drake, you're a dummy. Chris Adonis, you're a dummy. He's doing it as if he's trying to get a pop, or he's trying to genuinely offend them. So it's coming off really bad. But there's no reason to be emotionally invested in this feud. I think a lot of people like Eli Drake. A lot of people like Moose. A lot of people want to see what D'Angelo can do. So would you agree with that assessment, though, that there's no heat behind this feud? I mean, last week, Moose took them out 1-on-2. So what does he need a partner for?
Question, and before I give you my answer, when's Eli Drake's contract? How long is his contract with Impact?
Man, Eli Drake re-signed this time last year. It was before Slammiversary.
It was a 1 year or 2 year?
I think a 1 year, because they've been signing it. He's good as gone when the time comes.
That's what I'm thinking, because you know what? I find myself, and like I've told you, I'm a big Eli Drake fan. When I used to train, years ago, he was part of this tag team called Natural Selection. And I remember saying, man, if he ever made it to Impact, he'd, be a guy. I feel, though, with him, it's like they're phasing him out. They know that he's leaving, because I think, when I heard this match coming up, my two issues were, one, A, why isn't the Grand Championship being defended at the pay-per-view? That was my first thing. And then two, why do they keep sticking Eli Drake with these different, partners and stuff like that, and they have Eli Drake eating the pins, or he's the one looking like a goof. And I think that's the thing, as an Impact fan and an Eli Drake fan, you just kind of just feel like this is one of these situations where, they're misusing this guy. For this match, I don't think too many people care about this match outside of wanting to see what D'Angelo Williams can do in the ring, which I'm interested in too. It's like there's so much more they could do with Eli Drake and Moose. Why not have them do a rematch? And then you could have Chris Adonis in one corner, D'Angelo Williams in another corner. I mean, I think something like that, you still can, Impact and, the news media can still cover, D'Angelo Russell, NFL player, he'll be joining Impact Wrestling to stand in Moose's corner when Moose, da-da-da-da-da. There's a different way to go about it and stuff. And the fear that I have with this match is we all know Moose and D'Angelo Williams is going to win, but is Eli Drake eating the pin?
Right. I don't think Eli Drake will eat the pin. They're definitely losing, because celebrities do not lose in pro wrestling. Which is kind of ridiculous. I would actually really respect them if they lost because they had an experienced guy on the team, inexperienced. But they're definitely gonna beat Drake and Adonis. I don't think they're doing the Impact Championship on the pay-per-view because they did it at Bound for Glory and it completely tanked. But they also did a five-round format, which is the dumbest thing they could have done and probably the first thing that ruined Aaron Rex's career with Impact. But we're getting a celebrity, and we've been asking for this kind of stuff for a while with Slammiversary. Like, make a special, do, and they're delivering on that, you know, what we've been asking for. So, there's just a very little reason to care for this match as far as, you know, there's no kind of heat behind it, but I like the guys involved except for Adonis. So
yeah, same here.
Yeah. So, okay, so we get the main event. It's El Patron and James Storm versus Lashley and EC3. And I've always preferred it when you're leading up to a pay-per-view to try to not pit opponents against each other. I would have preferred to see El Patron versus Storm. But yeah, I know I'm getting all these mixed up because there's so many baby faces and heel turns. I was saying I would have preferred to see El Patron versus EC3 and Lashley versus Storm, almost like in a pick your poison type of format, but I mean just switch opponents. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like that the guys are getting their hands on each other way too much, and that's what the E does, and that's why their pay-per-views have no heat and passion behind them. It's kind of like the first time you're messing around with a chick or something like that, and it's like, you know, hot and heavy, and then after the 20th time it's kind of like routine and you're going through the motions, you know what I mean? And like that's the same concept in pro wrestling. You know, like if you keep letting them get their, you know, wrestle in some kind of format, then it ruins it. So anyway, the match was okay. It never really kicked into that next gear, you know what I mean? Like there was one point where James Storm tagged in and James Storm is on fire, but then it was also like he was delivering a bunch of moves, but then he was also doing it really slow. And then he stopped and saw the belt in the corner and wanted to go get that. And, or the strap, I should say. It just never got like where you're just like really, really into this match. And it's unfortunate because these are four of the top guys in the company, but the match was okay. I mean, did it do anything for you as far as like a main event?
I liked it. You know, same thing. I was just thinking what you were thinking, like, you know, they haven't fight too much, you know, but I think, you know, those are the two big matches they're promoting. So I think that's the reason why, like, we see a lot of interactions between James Storm and EC3 and El Patron and Lashley. But, you know, I loved it. You know, I was really into it and stuff like that. My only thing, though, I think because next week is the last taping before before the pay-per-view and stuff. I just kind of just feel like, man, you know, and I hate to fantasy book, but wouldn't it have been so much cooler? You think of the feud that Storm and EC3 are having if the title was involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, it's just because I'm sitting here and a part of me is just saying, and look, ever since El Patron has come to Impact, like, he's shown a passion and the fans have been behind him. But I would have loved just to see him just work his way, at least start in the mid-card. You know, for him to have the opportunity to be the first unified Impact champion, like, that, I feel like stuff like that gives the ammunition for the trolls. It's like, you know, we had him, yeah, on him, and you put your belt on. Like, something like that, you give that honor to, you know, an EC3 or a James Storm and stuff like that. And, you know, as far as with Lashley, Lashley's one of my favorites in Impact. I feel the way he's been booked, I mean, that's how you book a strong champion. But with that said, I mean, I think it's, you know, time for him to, you know, drop it. But then here's my question. You know, once he loses the belt, where does Lashley go from here?
It's tough to say because, you know, Lashley's always going to be in that world title picture. I would imagine he's going to drop the belt of the pay-per-view. There's no way he's going to win three straight pay-per-views. He's been too dominant, and that's great, but it's kind of like, what's next? Like, just like what you're saying. So it's hard to say. It really is. I think they missed an opportunity for Josh to be his manager.
Yeah, yes. You know, but you know what? He's become a good talker himself too. So I mean, he's just, I mean, if I think if to have the opportunity to have him drop the belt was that match in the way they did it, and I thought this is what they were going to do. Remember when they had Storm versus Lashley? I thought they were going to let Storm win, and then we were going to see the scenario where Buddy, you know, EC3 and James Storm, you know, they're cool. Then EC3 turns on him and says, like, hey, I want your belt and stuff like that. I thought that whole turn, I think they did it too early and stuff like that, because I think that was the opportunity to have Lashley drop the belt. I think, you know, if he drops it, and I know we're all looking at it like he's most likely, I wouldn't be mad if he won it, but then if he wins it at the pay-per-view but then loses it the following Impact, it's like, what the hell, you know? So,
but you gotta believe that James Storm's on his way to a title run. So, I mean, maybe Lashley does win this thing. I want to ask you something here, dude. I don't think EC3 is connecting as a heel the way that he used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's still a little too much comedy to him. He's a funny guy, and I think comedy is good as a heel, but sometimes too much of it makes you a cool heel, and you're not getting that heat the way that you need to. But my personal opinion is that he's not selling himself as a heel, because EC3 is a body guy, and body guys are usually baby faces. But he's going to the ring, and he's looking like a body guy. And what I mean by that is, so take Lashley, for instance. Lashley does not, when someone calls him out, he doesn't go out there with his shirt off looking all huge. You know, he's got like a t-shirt on. He's got a, or his little vest thing. He's got a hat, to where he's kind of looking casual. And EC3's heel role used to work because he used to wear a suit, or he used to have a sidekick or something. But he's just going out there looking like this big jacked up dude. Like old school body guy that the crowd is supposed to be behind. And I think he's missing something in his presentation, because you remember when he was a heel before, he had the douchebag hairstyle, and, you know, like I said, he wore the suits, and now it's like he's out there looking like Mr. Cool.
Yeah, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
No, that's all I was saying.
You know, for me, I think this is what happened. This is my opinion. See, when he was heel before, he was the top guy. Then when he became face, he was the top guy. I think with the changes and stuff like that, he took a step down, because even though now, you know, he's turned heel and stuff like that, he doesn't feel like the focal point that he was. Personally, like, I thought he was doing okay as a face. I just think he didn't have that heel to bounce off of. I thought, and just my thing, I thought what was going to end up happening, and I hate to use these comparisons, but I thought he was going to be the Stone Cold to Eli Drake's Rock. So I thought those were going to be the two guys moving forward, you know, going to be, you know, competing for, you know, the battling for the Impact Championship and stuff like that. So I think what doomed face EC3 was not having that heel where who can, you know, look him eye to eye, because, you know, the way they, you know, use Eli Drake and push Eli Drake, where they don't push Eli Drake. You know, so then they turn him heel and stuff like that. He takes a back seat. El Patron comes in. I mean, I don't think he beat El Patron not once. You know what I mean?
No, he never beat him, no.
Yeah, so it just made him – it made him like a mid-card heel and stuff. So I think with that, and another thing too, and I don't know any, you know, backstage news, but, you know, I see him come out sometimes. You know, it doesn't look like he cares for the new regime much. You know, I find myself now too, and I try to watch Impact and just enjoy it, but I find myself when I'm watching some of these guys, not see them lose, but how they lose, it's like I'm always thinking, when's their contract up?
Yeah. And
is that the reason why I like that? Because EC3, he's, you know, the franchise, you know what I'm saying? Like, he should be the focal point. He should be the one competing for a unified, unifying the belts. You know, he wins the number one contender. Nope, they got to take it away and give it to El Patron. Why? Why?
I think they're being very, really careful with expiration dates on contracts, because last year we lost EY and Rude, and they were champions. Yeah. They had belts. Yeah. And the same happened with Galloway this year. He had to drop it. Who's the other guy? The Hardys were the champions. I mean, they're losing champions.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I think they're being really, really careful. And I think you have a point that when you look at how a guy is booked, you know, because Mike Bennett, at the end, he was booked like shit. When I say he was booked like shit, I just mean he was losing a lot. They weren't doing a disservice. I think they kind of knew something we didn't know. And they weren't going to have that shit happen again, where he was being wishy-washy. Oh, I think I'm going to resign. I don't know. Only for him to ultimately leave, which they did leave a storyline, which really sucked. And they've had to bounce back from it. But I can see that where, you know, EC3 did an interview the other day, and he completely pandered to the question when they said, are you ever going to go back to WWE? Like, he didn't give a good impact answer. Like, if you ask El Patron, if you ask Gail Kim, even if you ask Eli Drake, he's pretty pro impact in his interviews. There's some guys that give that impact answer, and then there's some guys who are like afraid to give to do that. And I think it even happened with Jay too, where they were positioning Jay to, you know, really be the face of the division. They were positioned, she was teasing the 450 splash, you know, never hit it, and then all of a sudden she's gone. So I think they're being really, really careful. And I think you make a strong point with some of the booking that, you know, it might have to do with, we don't know if we're keeping this guy long term or not. One thing I'll say about Slammiversary, I wish that they would have taken some chances with this card, because overall the card is kind of safe.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked them to go through the challenge of, you know, Magnus was a GFW champion. Why not build his ass up? Why not build Christina Von Erie up and see if we can really do a real unification? Because it would have been a real unification if you actually had the actual GFW title holders. Not okay, they're going to come in Impact, we're going to have them drop them to the guy that we think should, you know, should main event. I would have liked to see, you know, like you said with the EC3 and Eli Drake. You're right, EC3 was missing a yin to his yang, so he never really got over as that baby face the way he needed to. But, you know, I would just like to see that, you know, just take some chances instead of, you know, all the matches are real safe. I'm not saying it's not good matches. I think there's some great stipulations, but I would have liked to see them step up to the plate, step up to the challenge, and push their DFW guys. You know,
I think there's a fear, though. It's kind of like, and I hate to use this as a reference and stuff, but it's my belief, like, you know why, like, and I always laugh because, you know, you get fans, you know, wishing, you know, the dream matchup. Oh, WrestleMania main event, Nakamura versus AJ Styles. Okay. To the casual fan, if you're not familiar with their work and stuff like that, that's not really drawing the casual fan. It's going to draw, you know, the diehards and stuff like that. And I feel with the new regime, they're trying to, you know, generate revenue. So then that way, you know, they can do the house shows and stuff like that. So I think the fear is they already know with, you know, pay-per-view, it's already a dying market and stuff. And it's hard to kind of get people to pay, what is it, $49.99 for pay-per-view?
Yeah, so, no, you're right.
So, you know, maybe they want to go. And that's why I kind of could understand a little bit why they got the El Patron, because, you know, he's known, you know, and he has, you know, a strong, you know, following in the Spanish community as well. So, you know, that'll probably get more people to go see it versus, you know, you say at EC3 versus Eli Drake. You know, let's be fair, you know, unless you follow Impact and, you know, really follow wrestling, those aren't, not to diminish.
There's no money in it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not known, like, you know, even hell, and that people hate them, but like a Roman Reigns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You
know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
No, towards the end of my, run watching WWE, I know they were talking about, Ronda Rousey wrestling at WrestleMania, and a lot of the fans were like, well, she should be wrestling Charlotte or Sasha Banks, something like that. And I remember someone making a point, I think it was Jim Ross, he's like, there's no money in that. Like, if you ever see Ronda Rousey wrestle, it'll be against Stephanie McMahon, because that's where the money is. So
exactly.
You got a point. You know, I'm sitting here being a wrestling fan, so I'd rather see this. But,
well, of course.
Yeah, you got to put the names in the right places. So, no, that makes a lot of sense. But
And that's what I try to do, like, I think moving forward, too, because, and we've talked about this, like, or, you know, gone back and forth on Twitter. It's like, damn, you know what? Impact has so many opportunities with some of these people where, like, they can be giving us stuff that we're not seeing anywhere else. But then once the new regime came in and, you know, the one bright spot, like, I don't care about some of the departures, because a lot of them, if they're former E guys, like, I don't care, because to me, right. A lot of those E guys, you know, you're using Impact as leverage to go back to get back. Yeah, to get back to where you were and stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't care. I think I've told you, as far as when the Hardys left, I was so over their whole shit when they turned face. And I felt like at Delete, was it Delete or Decay? That was at Bound for Glory, right?
That was the Great War was at Bound for Glory.
Okay. It was one of those. I don't know if it was Delete or one of those. To me, that destroyed Decay right there. Decay yeah. was good and stuff like that. I felt like Decay should have went over. That destroyed Decay and stuff. So then, when, you know, seeing them leave, I didn't care and stuff like that. But, you know, I like where everything's going now as far as, you know, it seems like folks are getting paid and stuff like that. But I just kind of find myself like a lot of the people I like, you know, they might not be around and stuff. So, you know, I'm still going to follow the product. Hopefully they can get some, you know, find some of these young aspiring, you know, wrestlers, you know, who want to make a name for themselves in Impact and want to stay long term and stuff. So that's just going to be the key moving forward as far as with the booking of some of these people.
But the match ends in a DQ. The DQ made sense. Someone needs to teach these referees how to sell these belt shots. Like, these guys are taking, Stifler's taking these belt shots, and then he lays there like he's out cold. And did you see when, about to wrap this thing up here in a second, did you see when EC3, it was like, it wasn't on Impact, the YouTube channel released it. EC3 had hit, I think it was Scott D'Amore or Pat Kenny. I think it was Pat Kenny. He hit him with the belt and he like no-sold it.
Yeah, I believe. Wait, was that was this episode?
No. It was like a month ago. Like, it was the same episode where he beat James Storm with it. So it goes off air, and then the YouTube channel shows that, you know, all the agents and stuff are coming down, and EC3 is hitting. I want to say, dude, I really think it was Pat Kenny. He starts beating him in the back with it, and he completely no sells it. He like turns around, and I was like, oh my god, why did you release this footage? But I believe that match is supposed to be a one fall to a finish. It's not the tap the corner stuff. So, man, that's it for us this week. It was good to have you on, Ro. We're definitely gonna have you on. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I was just saying, I appreciate you for having me, man. I love to talk Impact, sports, all kinds of stuff. How you feel about your Clippers, man?
You know, my Clippers, I was glad that they made a couple draft picks last night. They bought a couple players because they didn't have a pick in the draft because we like to trade our picks away. They got some promise there. They signed a rookie today as well right away that wasn't drafted. So I don't know. The Clippers don't play their rookies, so it's tough to get excited about them when they get picked. But
they'll get some playing time. I'm telling you, man. I think they're gonna tear it down. Blake and Chris Paul, they opted out, and they sent a thing out. They were saying that Blake doesn't like playing with Chris Paul, and I think personally, because I think I've told you, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a Celtic fan, you know, for folks who don't know. But I go to the Clipper games, and I just think, you know, from the fan base, I think they're ready for a rebuild as long as it's a short rebuild. And I think if they do it right, you know, you get Doc out of there, get your coach. I think next season they could still be a playoff team. Will they be a contender? No. But what you do, you just have your one retool year. And then in 2018, you know, you go summer 2018, you go for it. But, yeah, I liked your guys' draft. As far as with the Celtics, man, I don't know what the hell we're doing. Every other day there's some rumor about Paul George and whatever like that and stuff. But
I can tell you right now, they drafted Tatum to trade him for Paul George. So everyone keeps saying, okay, well, Paul George wants to be a Laker or whatever. Which, first of all, Paul George grew up a Clipper fan, so I don't know where this Laker shit is coming from. But I'm telling you, if he goes to Boston and they're in the top two seeds, or if they go to the NBA Finals, he's not going to the Lakers. He's not leaving Boston. Like, people can say, oh, he's a one-year rental. If he goes into the Boston Celtics and they're a top two seed with all the assets that they have and they have his bird rights, he's not going to go to the Lakers, take, because at that point he's going to have to take less money and he's going to be in last place.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he will be a Celtic.
We'll see. I mean, it's, you know, and I hate to get off because I know this, we talk Impact, but I think it's just one of those things where you just got to kind of just see, like, I hate when they, you know, hey, well, sources say that they're talking and stuff like that. Either report that it happened or it didn't and stuff. But anyways, man, hey, I appreciate this opportunity, man. Thanks for, you know, having me on. You know, I know we have been talking about this forever. I enjoy doing it. Thanks for carrying me along and stuff.
No, absolutely, man. We're definitely definitely going to do this again soon. So might even have you on even a mix in with some of these other hosts or everything. So I think we have some good chemistry here. So I think I'll have you back on soon. But
yeah, I love it.
That's going to do it for us in the King of the Mountain podcast. So thanks for tuning in. Again, please subscribe. Please share all that stuff. Help us get the show out. And much appreciated. We'll catch you next time. Peace.